Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus experiences anew the temptations that Israel faced in the wilderness. As the Son of God, he endures the testing of the evil one. A reading from Matthew 4, beginning with the first verse. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All of these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly the angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. It was 3 years and 2 days ago that I began my call here at Trinity Lutheran. A Monday, just a couple of days before Ash Wednesday that year. A great way to enter into ministry in a place, to kind of get settled into an office and almost immediately slide into worship with the gathered community. And in those days, as we were gathering, we had no idea what was ahead of us. Because it was just a couple of weeks later, on March 15th, a Sunday afternoon, that the governor declared that school would not open the next day. And that next day stretched on for the entirety, remember, of that year. We never would have guessed what was in front of us. This virus that had come to our world and our country and our state, and it kind of just upset everything that was normal and expected and in our midst. Do you remember the fear? Do you remember the fear early on? What is this virus going to be? How is it going to affect me or my family, my loved ones? What is going to happen to my business or the company that I work for? I've got to tell you, early on, we really wondered what would happen here at the church. But you answered that question with your continued generosity, and our ministry continued to move on. It was a very unsettling time. Out of that, we were forced again and again and again as a congregation, as council, as staff here to think about what's God calling us to. How do we engage in ministry in these days and in these times? The day after the governor made his announcement, the council here made a decision that Lenten worship would not happen that Wednesday or the following Sunday, and that we would just play it by ear to see when we would gather again for worship. You might remember, you might not. It wasn't until the summer when we were able to worship outside that we gathered as a worshiping community. We gather on this annual meeting Sunday, the first Sunday in Lent. And I think that the gospel text that is in front of us is an incredible text for us to think about all of the changes that have happened in the world around us and the way for us to be thinking about what God calls us to. So think about this text from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has just come off of being baptized at the River Jordan by John. And in the midst of that baptism, you remember, there is this vision of a dove coming from heaven and then a voice that comes in and says, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus ends up out in the wilderness immediately for 40 days of fasting. A time, I believe, and Scripture doesn't give us deep insight, but I would guess it was a time of deep prayer, deep listening, trying to find the affirmation of what is ahead. And coming out of it, Jesus is not only famished, but I believe that his identity is secured in his very being. Son of God, who has come for a very specific reason into this world, for the salvation of the entire world and creation. It's into that that the tempter comes. Jesus is famished 40 days without eating, and the tempter immediately says, "If," I just love that two-letter word, if you are the Son of God, immediately begins to go after his identity. If you are the Son of God, you're hungry. Why don't you just take that stone and turn it into a little bit of lunch? Jesus responds with Scripture. One does not live by bread alone. If you are the Son of God, the tempter says to him as they stand on the pinnacle of the temple, just throw yourself down. Because now the tempter brings Scripture in himself and says that his angels will lift him up, that his foot won't be dashed upon a stone. Jesus responds with Scripture again, but the tempter's not done, takes him to see the entire world in a flash and offers it all to Jesus. Just bend down and worship me. But again, with Scripture, Jesus withstands the temptation. I fully believe that Jesus was able to withstand the temptation that the tempter brought because he knew who he was and what he had come to do. That he was most certainly God's son who had been sent for the sake of the salvation of the world. On this annual meeting Sunday, and as we continue to move forward out of this pandemic and learn to live with this virus that's going to be with us forever, that I believe is just the truth. I believe that we are called to continue to come back to the center of who we are and what God is calling us to do and to be. So part of what happened in the midst of the pandemic is we really dug in, council and congregation, inviting people together to think about where God is calling us to and what is our ministry in this time. Out of it came a new mission statement that was shared with you all last year, nurturing a living faith with open hearts and serving hands. That the idea that the center of who we are is a worshiping community which is open to anyone and everyone, and that out of this worshiping community we are pushed beyond the walls of this place to serve. Wherever we are, whatever we do, an understanding that we carry the gospel with us. On an annual meeting Sunday, as these reports are made available to you, and later on today, Clarissa will be here, and I invite you to give her a pat on the back because she has put together a beautiful document for you all to look at. But I hope between the pictures that you would really read the reports and ask of yourself, do you believe what the different committees and groups are doing is the ministry that we're called to? And if you're not certain to be able to ask questions, and if you're nervous about doing that in the midst of the annual meeting, to sit with a council member and talk with them about it, to really ponder and pray about where God is calling us. Your council has put together a list of values and also goals that they're working on. And I want to share those four goals that they are engaged in because you're part of this. So the first of the goals is that we would continue to create a congregation culture where people regularly worship. Now, I am so thankful for the gifted musicians who come here and work absolutely every week, giving of their time and talent, of the worship committee that works hard in the midst of this congregation, of Pastor Mary Lou and the gift that she is in helping keep us doing different creative things in this space. And we hope that the worship that happens here keeps you grounded in the faith in such a way that you might be able to say to others that you bump into, come and see. If you don't have a worshiping community, come and see. See what Jesus is up to in the midst here. But it's not just about the worship in this place. There are other things that we have been trying to engage. So about a year ago, we started pre-baptismal classes. Pastor Lee and Gracia were leading them, where we invited all young people who were going to be bringing a child to baptism to come and gather together to hear what baptism is all about, but also to make some relationships with one another in the congregation. And then we've thrown a couple of anniversary parties for those who have been baptized, inviting those young families back together to continue to build the relationships. That anniversary was a couple of weeks ago, and we displaced the Sunday coffee folks that day. And we didn't tell you why, and that's my fault. But we're going to continue to do that once a year to try to deepen relationships and deepen faith in Christ. We've pushed our Wednesday worship, trying to get more involvement in what's going on. And one of the ways is by providing a meal every Wednesday. Somewhere between 5 and 5:15 it starts. Not just during Lent, but all program year long. So that families who are on the run picking kids up from sports or school or other activities can come here, have a meal together, and then come to worship at 6. Trying to build a culture where people come together and care for one another. Another goal that is in place is an emphasis on being Christ's church beyond the walls of this building. You all are involved in lots of incredible things through the ministry here at Trinity. You may remember last fall that we got together and packed the backpacks for United Way. Over 1,500 backpacks were packed in one night with food that the congregation bought, so that kids in Bismarck and Mandan who might otherwise over the weekend be hungry would have food to eat. And then adults from this congregation delivered those to all of the schools throughout those two communities. We get together once a month and we pack the loaves and fishes bags. 3,100 bags are distributed through the kiosk out front each and every year. 3,100 meals. People are being fed because of what happens here. We've tried to work at teaching the fact that your faith life doesn't end as you leave this place, but you live your faith wherever you are in the world the rest of the week. Whether you are at work, whether you are at a store, whether you are off getting your car fixed, you are Christ's ambassador wherever you go. I hope you hear that message again and again and again in our midst. We've engaged a mental health and substance abuse task force. Why? Because those are two huge issues in our midst. It's affecting many of us, either mental health or substance abuse. And how might we become a place where it is openly talked about so people felt supported and cared for in where they are and what they do? And if you haven't seen it on Facebook, our confirmation kids are involved in hands-on service and support in a myriad of places. Serving at the banquet, serving at Heaven's Helper Soup Cafe, serving at Kitty City. I think that was one of the places one of our group of kids went. So that we become living examples of Christ. A third goal is that we would grow deeper in our Christ-centered faith through Bible study, Connects groups, church school, and our confirmation program. So we've shifted our confirmation program to faith incubators, whose whole centering is that we would move from head knowledge to heart knowledge. Sure, we teach the kids Bible stories and the like, but the real hope is that it is our hearts that are turned and changed in the midst of this program. So every Wednesday night, 45 to 50 kids are downstairs, along with a dozen to 15 adult mentors, as we gather together in the midst of our confirmation program. We've got a Bible study that happens in between our Sunday morning worship services. Heather provides a Bible study on Wednesday nights. Pastor Martha eventually will begin leading studies as well once the waves of overwhelmment settle down a little bit. Bob is leading a group of guys through reading the Bible. They've been at it for a year and will be moving into the New Testament, and there is always room for more at 7 o'clock every Monday morning. Bible study is central to understanding who we are and whose we are. And the last of the goals is understanding that this building is a gift to us. A gift for ministry, not only for us. This is just an incredible place to gather for worship, either here or now as we gather every Wednesday during Lent in the community center. Phenomenal spaces. And then to have the education space. If you worry that there aren't enough kids here on a Sunday, come on a Wednesday and see that this place is just crawling with young people. From corner to corner of this building, whether it's in church school or confirmation or in confirmation small groups, all over. But it's not only our congregation that this building is a gift for. It's the community as well. Two AA groups meet here during the week. We have dancers, young people who are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. A long-running tradition here at Trinity, a different way of sharing our building with the community. There are wood carvers that meet here. This past year, we've started a new relationship with a group called Pro Musica. They're phenomenal, and they love this space for the concerts that they do. What other opportunities do we have to share this space with others? Brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing who we are as Trinity Lutheran and knowing what God is calling us to is essential. That's how we stay grounded. That's how we withstand the temptation to stay away from things that churches shouldn't be involved with. It happens through prayer, and Bible study and conversation together. May Christ continue to be at our center, and may Christ continue to be the one who leads us. Thanks be to God. Amen.